Amen. There is a word from the Lord today. But before we do that, I just wanted to reflect a little bit on how things are. First of all, as you know, Lady Hope had some issues with an eye incident that she was dealing with. And so continue to pray for her. That's number one. Amen. She was doing some better, but still has a ways to go. Amen. So we invite your prayers.
Yes.
Amen. And also, just to commemorate today, I just wanted to share some things with you. Some of you are aware of this. 22 years ago, on this day, I started a ministry. I had left out from Reverend Eugene Barney, which was one of my favorite ministers of the gospel. In fact, it was him who preached a message about the last days after I'd been out of church for a long time and on a mission. You're talking about letting the devil ride. The devil was riding and I was riding with him. But I heard a word from Reverend Eugene Barney. And the first time I've been back to church after many years of being out on a mission, or so to speak. It lit a fire in my soul, and I jumped up and ran to the front of the church. And I have a witness in the house, Mother Lemon. Some of these other mothers may have been here as well, been there at that time that happened as well. But I've been in the church ever since. God turned me around. And that didn't actually happen on today, but that happened on another day. But I just wanted to mention that not long after that, under the leadership of Minister Reverend Eugene Barney Sr., I was called to preach. All kinds of things happened. But before that, I started out with prison ministry, was doing audio ministry, exporting the word out to people from the church, set up a tape ministry, got a whole group of people, one of which is my brother Willie Thomas that just walked in not long ago. He was there with us doing prison ministry. And shortly after that, in 99, on August the 15th, this is where I was trying to get to, we separated from Mount Herald. We left with their blessing, and we went and started a ministry called Street Gate Ministries. Amen. Which is 22 years old today. So God has blessed us for 22 years. And that ministry was primarily to minister to people who were coming out of jail, ex-offenders, and their families. And so we did that for a number of years. Starting in 99 on August the 15th, we separated. And then by 2005, we had applied for nonprofit status and all that, and we've been going ever since. So you don't hear as much about that now, because during this past 7 years, I've been pastoring for St. Timothy, and I was sent by Reverend Barney over to another gentleman who had a great impact on my life, and that was Dr. A.L. Hamilton. So I was under his training before I was ordained to be a minister. And that was going with the leadership of Reverend Barney. So those two individuals are big. They're large in my life. God used them in a mighty way. Turned me around. Amen. And so eventually, and little did I know when I was training with Dr. Hamilton that he would be helping me to prepare for ministry. But not only that, but I had no idea I would be pastoring St. Timothy Church. But this was years before I actually became the pastor. So as you know, most of you know, I've been the pastor at St. Timothy for the past 7 years. But I just want to tell you something about some of the previous history. And Straight Gate Ministries continues on. Now, let me say this. Having said that, in this past couple of years, there have been some, y'all know what's been going on. I'm not giving you any news, but let's just say the pandemic kind of shut a lot of things down as far as prison ministry is concerned. But we've been making preparations. Now, it didn't mean we didn't minister to anyone. We still were, but we just weren't able to do what we normally do. And so now, since that time, the coordinator at the jail has changed, and I have an appointment with them this week on Tuesday. And I'll be going back in to meet with them to get things rolling in a new manner, however the new protocol will be for a time coming up here. So I wanted to tell you that so you can pray for that ministry, because it is a great ministry. We have ministered to multiple thousands of people. And where I first went to a prison to minister was at Hall Street, which there's a lot of controversy in the news today about the workhouse, as they call it. But I know, I bet you I could probably get 1,000 witnesses that were in the workhouse who heard the gospel through Straight Gate Ministries, whose lives have been turned around 180 just like mine was since then. And I bet you they don't think so badly of it. Yes, it's a rotten environment. There's a lot of stuff could have been fixed a little better. But you know what? When you do stuff that's not right, maybe you shouldn't have the greatest and the best of conditions, you know. Well, should we be putting you up in a luxury hotel, or have you done something for which you need to think about where you are and get your life turned around? I think that's beneficial myself. Not to hurt anybody or put them in harm's way or in any health hazard or nothing like that. But just the fact that you are in an aversive situation sometimes wakes you up and lets you see that, just like that song we sang, "Don't Let the Devil Write," he needs to stop. And I got to get out right here and start to do stuff different. You see what I'm saying? And so I just speak that to say that prison ministry is a fruitful thing, because I think God allows prisons. And I've said this to thousands of prisoners before, that, you know, some people didn't come to the prison, they went to the cemetery. And so if you were in the prison, that was mercy. So now you need to think about what God is doing, giving you another chance to change your life and turn things around. See, and many of them did. And so I think it's a fruitful thing. And that's what Jesus also said, adding to that note, that when I was in prison, you didn't come to see me. He talked to some people in Matthew 25. He said, "I was naked and you didn't clothe me. I was hungry and you wouldn't feed me. And I was in prison and sick and you wouldn't come and see me." See, so the Lord wants us to do these things. And so we're going to be involved in that in a new way here, the best way we can, coming up here soon. So I wanted to let you know that, because it's an anniversary in another way for me. Amen. 22 years. And let me say this, and I got to back up and throw this in, a little clip for I only have two granddaughters. I have lots of grandsons, but 6 years ago, my granddaughter Iris was born on today. So her birthday is the same as Straight Gate Ministry. I tell her that all the time. I remember that means, you know, just a good way to remember everything about that. Amen. So happy birthday to Iris. Amen. But we're going to go right ahead. There is a word from the Lord. I wanted to share those facts with you about some things that have been going on. And I say we're going to be moving and ramping things up in that area. Amen. In the coming days, if the Lord spares. So why don't you join me, if you would, in Psalms number 91. And we're going to look at that in the Old Testament. This is a favorite psalm of mine, and probably yours as well. And I only picked out just two verses, but when you have opportunity, read the entire psalm. It is beautiful. And it's something that I think is wonderful for us to consider. And also put a bookmark in 1 John. That's all the way back next to Revelation. Go backwards, you'll get to it easier going from the back toward the front of your Bible to 1 John. We call it Little John around here. But there's Big John with the 21 chapters, and then there's Little John over by Revelation. Amen. That's one of the five things that John wrote. Of course, he wrote five books in the New Testament: 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Revelation, and the Gospel of St. John. But we're looking at Little John in the last chapter, chapter 5. And I want to look at a few verses in chapter 5. So let's read Psalms 91, 1 and 2 first. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust." Amen. That's how that psalm gets started. Amen. Now looking at 1 John 5 and 1. "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begot, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Amen. We've read selected verses. You may be seated in the sanctuary. And I want to use just for the next few minutes a topic of walking in the victory of faith. Walking in the victory of faith. Amen. Let's pray. Eternal God, we bless your name. Father, we praise you right now. Lord, we lift you up because your name is excellent in all the heavens and all the earth. There's none like you. And so, Father, we praise you right now. Father, we give you glory right now. And we thank you right now, Lord, for everything that you have done in our lives. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. You have made him the focal point of all salvation. You have made a decree in all the world that Jesus, the Son of David, is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You have said that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, Father, that news, that gospel that you have sent into the world, you have entrusted to us and your whole church, those who preach that good news, to those who will hear, those who have ears to hear, and a heart to understand what the Spirit said to the church. So, Father, today we just thank you for Jesus. And, Father, we thank you for the clarity of your word. We thank you for giving us faith. Lord God, you said in your word that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, Father, we want to thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the conviction that you give us, Lord, that we need Jesus. And you have declared in your word that whoever trusts in Christ, Jesus, the Messiah, will not perish, but will have everlasting life. You said this message was to be preached to the Jew first and also to the Gentile.
Yes.
So, Father, we preach it now, and we ask that you let it penetrate the hearts of many, that they might understand your grace and your mercy. Father, we pray that you give all that hear the message today faith to believe and trust in Jesus, because you said faith is the victory. So, Father, we pray for victory for all those listening today, that they might understand and believe and trust and lean totally on the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sin, that you might turn them around 180 degrees in life and move them forward on your path instead of the way they've been going. Bless them today, O God. Father, we pray for wisdom and understanding. You said that the knowledge of Christ is wisdom in your sight. And so, Father, we bless you. We give you praise. We ask you to heal the ones who need healing. We lift up a special word right now, Lord, for the mothers of our church and the mothers, period. Lord, touch their lives, O God. Continue to strengthen them, Lord. Give them your grace and your mercy. Fill them with endurance and understanding, and bless them with all manners of healing and whatever it is that they need, oh God, at this time. And we want to thank you for them right now. They have been great witnesses of your word. And Father, we pray you strengthen them right now wherever they are. If there's anyone going through a sickness, touch their body, touch their mind. Turn them around right now, Lord, and let them experience your grace and your mercy. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Father, bless anyone under the sound of my voice who is calling upon you right now with a knowledge and an understanding that you love them with an everlasting love. Bless them with salvation and grace and faith, and bless the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts. And we ask this in Jesus' mighty name. And the whole church said together, amen. Give God a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Walking in the victory of faith. Now, we've been talking about this subject for some time. Actually, faith is always an underlying part of the message in every message, because the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those who come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Isn't that what he says? He goes on to say, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And so it is by faith that we understand, the writer to the Hebrews says, that the worlds were framed by the word of God, and that things which do appear were not made with things that are seen. In other words, God spoke, and it was by faith that everything came into existence. So faith is a vital part of your life and mine. It is the victory, as it says in the text that we just read. So I want to just talk with you a little today about walking in the victory of faith. God has blessed us to have faith, and it is a gift from God. It's not by works, it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace ye have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves." You see, that faith doesn't come from within you, it comes from without you.
Amen.
It comes in from God to you. It's by grace you have been saved. That's undeserved kindness through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. See, that faith is not the product of works, lest any man should boast. So in other words, if you've done good works and things are being done well, and I hope they are, and I hope you do, remember that it's the gift of God. It is not by works. The works that Christians do are because they have faith, and because they have been saved, because God has forgiven me, because God has shown me His grace, because He has forwarded me His mercy. This is why we do the good works.
Amen.
The good works are the product of the faith that God has given you.
Amen.
See, so don't ever get proud and say, "Oh, you know, I have great faith," and boast on your faith. No, you know, the faith you have came from the Lord. If it's a saving faith. But what we do have to learn how to do is walk in the victory of faith. Now, what do we mean by that? You know, walking, we've mentioned this before in a number of lessons, is just the way you live your life every day. All of us live our lives by walking in this world. That's the way it's spoken of in the scriptures. And so we need to learn, as Paul said, to walk by faith and not by sight. That means sometimes the way we live our lives will be based on what we know about God and what we know about His Word, and not by what we see in the world. There will be stuff in the world that seems to contradict what God has said in His Word. And when that happens, our choice is to choose what God said. That's what it should be. We want to learn to focus on choosing what God said. Don't look at what you see and what you hear if it's contrary to what God said. So that's a simple formula. But I want you to see here, this is what you have to do just to help you with the mindset, because there's so many contradictory things that you have to deal with every day in life. You have a lot of stuff that militates against the truth of God, against the Word of God, against the standards of God, and you have to decide on the fly as you walk through this world what to do in every situation. You know what? Sometimes we fail and we don't do what we're supposed to do. Other times we get past the situation and we realize that we have victory, because God has defeated a thing in our lives and given us a prosperity that we didn't deserve, or He's given us a blessing that we didn't deserve, or He's given us an understanding that we couldn't come up with on our own. And it's always a supernatural input from God. So what I want you to see is, last week's message we talked about the fitting direction that we must learn to focus our lives on as we look forward. I say keep looking forward. You know what, a lot of times, and in that message we talked about the tragedy of looking back and allowing your past to dictate your present. That's a bad thing. You know, it's a good thing to learn from the past, nothing wrong with that, but it's bad if the past locks me down in the present. And I'm locked down because I can't forget about something somebody did to me yesterday, or something they said to me back a long time ago, or when I was a kid this happened to me, or all kinds of stuff in your past. It should never stop you from moving forward. You got to move forward and look forward. You know why? Two good reasons. Number one, you can't go back. What was done 1 second ago is done. It's over. You can't change it. Not only that, but God fought you through it. Whatever it was, He brought you through. And you're still here. It didn't take you down. Whatever it was, so why should it hang you up in your mind that I'm stuck on a thing that happened a long time ago, to the point that I cannot enjoy right now? See, I think that's the reason why there's that flexibility, particularly in English, that the term present has double meaning. It means this time right here, but it also means a gift. So this is the present. God has given you a present. Right now is a gift from God.
Yes.
Have you thought about that?
Oh, yes.
So why should I mess up my gift or my present with something from the past?
Okay.
That doesn't make sense, does it? You know what? I'm enjoying this present. This is a present I can open up every day. It's a new blessing in it every time I open it up. I can enjoy it. So why should I mess up my prison? That'd be like if I gave you a big prison and you take it and throw it in the trash. So I'm not throwing it in the trash. I'm going to break this open and see what's up with it. That's what we do when we get presents, don't we? So your presence, but I'm using the reflex here, your presence should be a blessing. It's something God has given you to enjoy. He's given it to you to unpack it and open it up today. And say, today is the day of salvation. And now is the acceptable time. I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. Nothing that happened yesterday is going to ruin this present that God has given me. Can you say amen? So we've been looking at that here. I want to focus now, not only that, but I'm looking to the future. I'm not looking back, looking forward. I'm going to lean into it because I'm going forward. I can't turn around. So we want to look forward and realize God has given you the victory. And so that's one thing we want to talk about. We kind of went over that. So this is review. So this week, let us consider how we can do this with more joy as we think about walking in the victory of faith. How did you get here today? We come this far, we saying what? By faith. Leaning on the Lord. Trusting in His holy word. He never failed me yet. That's why I'm here. That's what that song says. Don't turn around. We've come this far by faith. So we want to walk by faith and trust that God has given us promises. Right here, we know that every promise that God has given shall come to pass. And you know what? He gave it for you. You've got to personalize that. The promises of God are not just for the people He wrote about in the Word. They're for every man, woman, boy, and girl who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's deal with that first of all. Here the psalmist gives us some help. This is a psalm written by Moses. And it says here, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. First of all, dwelleth. This is why I like this KJV, because there's some richness in these words if you can break out what they mean. Now, we don't talk this way anymore, because this translation is about 400 years old. But in the KJV, they use the ETH ending. Y'all have heard me say this before. For things that happen at a moment and move on with continuing results. So he that dwelleth, that means I dwell, which is where I live, and I keep on dwelling in the Lord. Not only am I in the Lord, but I'm staying in the Lord. Not only did he give me faith to be in him and trust him, but he's keeping me in him. And I'm going to keep myself in him. He that dwelleth, this is where you choose to be. And it says in the secret place of the Most High. Now why is that? You know why? Because people who don't have faith, who don't believe God, don't trust in God. They're not in that place. Only the people who have faith and believe are in the secret place. It's only secret because you won't accept it. God has made it available. We preach it all the time. That if you trust in the Lord with all your heart, do not lean to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him, He will direct your path. He says, I'm going to be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. I'll light the way for you if you trust in me. And if you dwell in Him, that doesn't mean I don't necessarily do stuff that's not right, because sometimes we do. But you know what? God has given instructions. When you fail, what do you do? He said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you fail, then you confess it to God. And you stay in fellowship with God. I don't run out of the shadow. I run under the shadow. Hallelujah. I want to be in your presence. I need you more now because I'm weak and I'm broken down. But I need your help, Lord. So next time I come to the same place, then I will not fail. You can bring me through by faith. And so he says he dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. It's only secret because people won't accept it a lot of times. You know what? The ones who have accepted it, they walk in it. They live in it. They dwell in it. We desire to be in your presence. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And so we want to stay there, dwell in the place, the secret place. It's a dwelling place where you and I can be. In other words, we live in it. That's that walk every day. We walk by faith that God is always there, and He has never left us, neither has He forsaken us. Jesus left with that promise, didn't He? He said, you go and teach all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you. Always. Even to the end of the world. So you know what? Long as I see the world, I understand that God is with me. He said He would never leave me nor forsake me. See, so you dwell under the shadow of the Almighty, it says here. Keep in mind, that's like the picture of that I'm going to be so close that I never leave out of your shadow.
Yes.
If you can imagine that. Then He says, and I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Trust God all the time. No matter what you're going through, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean to your own understanding. So here we see the psalmist Moses teaches us that we are to dwell, that means live, in the reality that Almighty God is always near enough to us that we can take refuge under His shadow, knowing that He has promised to be there in every circumstance and every trial as we go through life, trusting Him by faith. Now, you know, sometimes we have circumstances and conditions that would cause us to question the Lord. Have you ever had something that was so serious in your life that it put doubt in your mind? You know what? I don't mind confessing. Sometimes you go, hey, Lord, what's up with this? My situation seems to be out of control. Or something is happening that I don't really want to happen. And I can't do anything about it. That's the times when you really want to run into the secret place of the Most High. Bear your heart before God. Realize that even Jesus in His flesh, He said, Lord, if it's possible, when He was in Gethsemane, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, He went back, not my will, but Thy will be done. Because He had that moment when all the weight of the sin of all mankind was laid upon Him to bear it before He went to the cross. The scripture said He, in Gethsemane, He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood because He was getting ready to bear the sins of everyone who trusted Him. It was a terrible moment. We know another moment He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? As He hung between heaven and earth, hung between two thieves, crying out to God, why have you forsaken me? So if you have a doubt, think about what Jesus did for you. Think about that He hung there from the sixth to the ninth hour, bearing the sins of all who trust in Him. He did that for you. I don't believe He doubted God, but I think He just cried out in His anguish because of the passion of the moment. Sometimes you and I have times like that. When there are things in our life, it won't be like that. Of course, nothing compares with that. But think about how small the things are that you and I are dealing with compared to what He was dealing with. And yet He cried out to God, have you forsaken me, God? Why have you forsaken me? You know, and the reason is He had to be forsaken in order for me and you to be saved. He hung there, and because He could take it, you know why? Because He had no sin. There was no sin, no deceit in His mouth. So God the Father could forsake Him, and death wouldn't be able to take Him. So it's because of that victory that you and I know. But I think Jesus experienced all the human emotions that you and I have to deal with, but even to the maximum, more than anything we ever have to deal with. So if He went through that for you, guess what? You can go through whatever you're dealing with and understand that the Lord is my strength. He is there for me. He endured all of that to present me faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, Jude says. Think about that. What I'm going through doesn't even compare. It's not worthy. I like Romans 8:18. For I reckon, Paul says, that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Think about that. Whatever I'm going through pales by comparison to what He went through for me. So can I take a little bit of suffering? Yes. Can I take a little rejection? Yes. Can I take a little pain? Yes. Can I take a little disappointment? Yes. Can I take a little, just all of the negative things? You can take it because Jesus took it so you can make it. That you can have a victory in your faith. He said, I prayed for you that your faith fail you not, to Peter. So that when you are converted, because Peter had betrayed him, he said, the devil has sought to have you that he might sift you like wheat, he told Peter.
Yes.
Peter went, what? You know, not me. Yeah, you. He let him know the devil is going to sift you like wheat. He didn't say, but I'm going to stop him. You know what he said? I pray for you. Jesus is the ultimate intercessor. Anything you're going through, he is praying for you already. Before you come to it, he's already praying for you. He's already secured the victory for you. Whatever problem you're having, he has secured the victory. And he's praying that you'll make it through by faith. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. And the evidence of things not seen. Keep trusting him no matter what trial you're going through. He's going to take you through. And so you can do this if you dwell in the secret place of the Most High. In other words, I'm going to stay in a familiar circumstance with God. I'm not going to go long times without talking it over with the Lord. Somebody wrote a song, Have a Little Talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your troubles and your problems. See that? So we got to get there and stay there. That's where we want to be. Because we expect that hostility will increase in the latter days. So we're going to be needing to be prayed up even more. Now notice this, the psalmist has told us that the Lord is our refuge. We can take refuge under the shadow of his wings, knowing that he has promised to be there in every circumstance, in every trial. And we got to keep trusting him by faith. So dwelling under the power of God will equip us to have victory, an ever-increasing victory, from the obstacles of this life, and to know that it is our faith in his promises, the promises of God and his Son, Jesus, that provides us progress in our lives. In other words, we're going to grow to another level spiritually the longer we stay with him. John puts it this way to tell you about the victory, and put it kind of in a nutshell. Whosoever believes or believeth, you see that ETH in the KJV? That means you believe and you keep on believing. Well, no matter what you go through, you keep on believing. And he says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now that's what Jesus told Nicodemus. We talked about that in last week's message, that you must be born from above to be a child of God.
Amen.
Nicodemus is going, well, wait a minute, I went to the Hebrew University, I studied with all the rabbis and did all that, and I keep the law and all that, and I do good works all the time, and you're saying there's something else I need? And Jesus said, are you the teacher of Israel? And you don't know this? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. All that, even though it's good, is flesh. You can't get in without the sacrifice of Christ. No one will ever be admitted who has denied Jesus the Christ. Whether they be Jew or Gentile, there will be no salvation apart from faith in Jesus Christ. And so we need to make that black and white plain. You know, people today will say, oh, that's your truth, but that's not my truth. No, that is the truth. Understand that. Without him, you can do nothing, the Bible says. But in him, you can do all things through Christ. Paul said, who strengthens me. So understand that we make that black and white plain and clear. Not because we said it, but the Bible says it. Amen? No other way to be saved, 1 John is telling us here. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Remember, a lawyer asked Jesus one day, what is the great commandment? And he told him, well, you know, it's, he said, basically, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. He said, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. So it's all about love. Love God above everything. Notice what John says. He's given us the same admonition, 1 John 5 and 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God, there's the first one, and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. See, that doesn't bother me. Now, if I don't keep His commandments, it ought to be grievous to me. And I ought to confess my sin and ask His forgiveness. Notice in verse 4, here's the solution. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. You keep on confessing it, God will strengthen you and empower you to have the victory over the sin that keeps on coming in your life. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So in other words, I have faith to believe that Jesus has already paid my bill entirely. So I'm going to keep on coming until I get more and more like Him. Day by day, second by second. And throughout all the activity of my life, I'm going to acknowledge Him in all my ways. Isn't that what it says in Proverbs 3? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will direct the path. He'll keep you moving up the King's highway. And so dwelling under the power of God will equip us to have that victory, an ever-increasing victory from the obstacles of this life, and to know that our faith in the promises of God and His Son, that Jesus provides progress in our lives, will keep you moving forward. The Apostle John agrees that there is an overcoming power and even ever-increasing love for our brothers and sisters in Christ that is the badge of the acquisition of God's love, the way you treat others. Think about that. That means I'm not going to be gossiping. I'm not going to be finding fault with other people. I realize their problem might be different than my problem, but we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We've been called to one body in Christ.
Amen.
And so we want to love each other equally as Christ has loved us. And that this fellowship with the church and communion with God through His perfect Son, Jesus, also provides the believer with overcoming power from God, who has given us the victory by faith. It's always your faith that gives you the victory. Amen. So we're calling you today, no matter who you are, and no matter what has been the case in your life. God has put out a universal message to all men, women, boys, and girls, and we are very proud to proclaim it with authority that whosoever believes in Jesus the Christ will have a witness in yourself. God says, I will inhabit you. I will get in your life. I will seal you with my spirit.
Yes,
I will. If you simply believe in the gospel, and it is gospel that there's one way to be saved.
That's it.
And we hope that you have partaken of that free gift that God wants to give you. If you haven't done it, do it right now. Lord God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you bless someone under the sound of my voice, whether they be online or in this room. Bless them to understand that you have loved them, you've given your Son, and that in Him is all the power of the body put, invested in your Son, Jesus the Christ. He is the Son of David.
Yes.
He is the King of Kings.
Yes.
He is the Lord of Lords.
Yes.
He is coming back for His church.
Yes.
And Father, we want to be a part of His church. Bless us right now. Forgive us of all sin.
Yes.
Seal us with your Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And Father, we give you the praise. We give you the glory. And we give you the honor.
Yes.
Save somebody's soul right now. Bless them right now to have the grace. Amen. So if you are here today and you would like to be a member of St. Timothy, which we are just one portion.